The reading is taken from Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead and on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said, and come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God does not show favoritism. But what does this mean? If we look through the four Gospels, we'll see Jesus hanging around with lots of people, but especially men. The Gospels tell us Jesus had female friends and even female followers, but it's men he seemed to be around most, with the 12 disciples being the most obvious examples. And even within this small group of men, Jesus often went off with just three of them, Peter, James, and John. Did Jesus think men were more important than women? Did Jesus think Peter, James, and John were better or more important than the other nine disciples? Our gospel reading today hints that this is not the case. Jesus has died and is now buried. Roman soldiers are guarding the tomb to prevent anyone from stealing the body. Two Marys, two women, arrive at the burial place to see the tomb. But what they see instead is an angel shoving the stone aside and the Roman soldiers fainting in fear. And then the angel says to the two Marys, "Don't be afraid. Jesus was crucified. His body was here. But it's not here anymore. Jesus was dead. Dead men don't get up. Dead men don't take off their burial clothes. Dead men don't fight their way out of the darkness of the grave. You saw the Roman soldiers on guard, stopping anyone from getting in or out. You saw them collapse in shock as the earthquake hit and I rolled the stone away. You saw all these things. And now see the evidence. The tomb is empty. Jesus is not here. By the power of God, creator of the universe, Jesus has risen from the dead. Now go, Mary, and go, Mary. Go and tell Jesus' disciples. You two women, go and tell the men that Jesus is alive." And the two Marys don't have to take the angel's word for it, because at that point, Jesus himself suddenly meets them and repeats what the angel said. "Don't be afraid. You two women, go and tell the men they'll see me in Galilee." In a place and time when the word of women held little sway, Jesus entrusting women with the astounding and frankly absurd news of his resurrection is nothing less than a complete reversal of social conventions. In our gospel reading today, Jesus chooses not men, but women to be the first people to see him in the flesh, in his resurrected, transformed flesh. So what does this mean? It means that while God in Jesus Christ chooses particular people or particular groups of people to do particular things at particular times, God doesn't favour men over women to do them. God does not show favouritism. But again, what does this mean? If we look through the book of Acts, where Jesus pours God's Holy Spirit on his followers, men and women, we'll see how the good news of Jesus' resurrection begins to spread from the city of Jerusalem to the far corners of the Roman Empire, even to Rome itself. But when we look through the book of Acts, we'll also see what happens when people from different people groups, when people from different ethnicities, with different skin, different cultures, different religious beliefs and practices. We'll see what happens when these people hear that a man, a Jewish man, has been raised to life by the strange single deity worshipped by the Jews and is himself now the Lord of all. In our reading from Acts today, we see Peter speaking about the risen Jesus in the presence of Cornelius, a Roman centurion who was stationed, or perhaps retired, in Caesarea, a Roman colony in the province of Judea. Cornelius himself is described earlier in Acts as devout and God-fearing, meaning he had probably developed sympathies with the Jewish religion, but had yet to convert. Cornelius remained a Gentile person, a non-Jew, and it was quite clear to everyone that, understandably it has to be said, it was quite clear to everyone that God favoured the Jewish people over the various Gentile peoples, including and especially the Romans. The Jewish people were God's people, chosen, according to the Jewish scriptures, to be God's treasured possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Cornelius may have been devout and God-fearing, but he hadn't adopted the Jewish religion wholesale. He was still a Gentile, a Roman, and an army officer at that. But the Holy Spirit is at work behind the scenes and arranges things so that Peter, a Jewish fisherman by trade, meets with Cornelius, a Gentile man, a Roman man, a military man, to talk about the risen Jesus. Yes, Peter admits, God chose the descendants of Abraham to be God's chosen people. But I can see my God, the God of the Jewish people, is also at work among Gentile people, making them, even Romans like you, Cornelius, part of God's chosen people. And so now I know for sure that God is the God of every people group, every ethnicity, of every skin. While it's true our scriptures say God has chosen the descendants of Abraham to be God's treasured possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, our scriptures also say all peoples on earth will be blessed through Abraham. I now see that time has come. That time is now, because Abraham's descendant Jesus is risen from the dead, transformed, glorified, and by God's design is both Lord of everything and judge of every people group. Cornelius, I am a Jewish man, and you are a Gentile man, a Roman centurion. But we have the same Saviour, our risen Lord Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? It means that while God in Jesus Christ chooses particular people or particular groups of people to do particular things at particular times, God does not favour one people group, one ethnicity, over others to do them. God does not show favouritism. But again, what does this mean? It means there is no place for sexism in this world. Certainly not among those of us who believe in Jesus Christ and testify to his resurrection. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, men and women really are equal, if only we would live this out. God does not show favoritism, nor should we. It means there is no place for racism in this world. Certainly not among those who believe in Jesus Christ and testify to his resurrection. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, people of different people groups, different ethnicities are equal. If only we would live this out. God does not show favoritism, nor should we. And what else does this mean? It means God in Christ does not love poor people more than rich people, or rich people more than poor people. It's been said the Bible shows a preferential option for the poor, and it does. But this isn't because God loves poor people more than rich people, or poor people simply because they're poor. It's because God in Christ hates injustice. God in Christ hates corruption and calls anyone who benefits from exploiting the poor and vulnerable to fear God, to respect God, and to do what's right. It means God in Christ does not love Ukrainian people more than Russian people, or Russian people more than Ukrainian people. God loves people from every nation, every people group, equally. But God in Christ hates oppression, God in Christ hates violence, and God in Christ calls anyone who benefits from terror and war and a lust for land to fear God, to respect God, and to do what's right. It means God in Christ does not love adults more than children, or children more than adults. And church is where we can truly put this conviction into practice and live it out. Let's remember, here at Holy Trinity with St. John's, our children aren't the church of tomorrow. They already are the church, even today, along with the adults, If only we would live this out. It means God in Christ does not love straight people more than people who are same-sex attracted, or people who are same-sex attracted any more than straight people. It means God in Christ does not love the healthy more than the sick, the employed more than the unemployed, the advantaged more than the disadvantaged. The resurrection of Jesus Christ shows that God is not for one person over another, or one people group or one social group over another, because the resurrected Jesus is Lord of all. And the resurrected Jesus is the judge of all, living and dead. If only we could get our hearts and our minds around this, and by God's Holy Spirit, live out what the resurrection means. And what does the resurrection mean? It means God does not show favoritism. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, the resurrection affects everyone. If Jesus died for everyone, then Jesus was raised for everyone. The resurrection means God does not show favoritism. God accepts anyone and everyone who commits to the risen Jesus, doing what's right and receiving forgiveness for their sins through his name. And the resurrection means God does not show favoritism. Think about it. If Jesus was raised from the dead, then Jesus' resurrection has changed everything. How could it not? And so God calls me, God calls you, God calls us to live Christ's risen life, to live as though the resurrection actually does make a difference. Because on this Easter Sunday, let me assure you, it has. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is risen. Hallelujah.